Guess who's back? It's the real WrestlePro. Ginger Jedi mind tricks teach you all that he knows. Head nobody in charge, and he's got all the news. Real talk, straight shooting interviews.
It's the Fanboy Show.
Join the queue, put you in a submission. $20,
oh, wow.
Full Nelson. Booking shows, picking flights, still got time for a podcast. Luck never stops, and he's gonna let you know that.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pat Buck Show. I'm your host, Pat Buck. Again, I apologize on the first episode for the lack of creativity that went into naming the show. This is my first time doing something with a video element, even though you could be listening right now in an audio form on a podcast or iTunes or whatever, you know, place you listen to your stuff. One of the big things I kind of want to get into, or probably most interesting area, or the area that is kind of unexplored on other wrestling podcasts, just because there's not a lot of us out there, and then there's even a smaller amount that have remotely any success because it's a crazy industry, is promoting. And I thought, what better person to have on the podcast than fellow WrestlePro original, or more so current booker. And the person I've had more booking conversations with than any person on the planet, one of my best friends, and I don't want to do just a one and done, he's on this episode, we'll never see him again, but I figure it's fitting to, you know, bring in people I can actually talk to, because we've, you know, talking about promoting shows, we're talking about doing all things relevant to pro wrestling, that's enough. You know, you may recognize him from Impact Wrestling last year or so, but more so I think he's done a tremendous job building his own name, his own reputation. That's Kevin Matthews. So I think I also, while I do this, I have to look this way to talk to you. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, the main question is, I just don't know what to do with my hands. What do I do? Do I keep? Yeah, I'm just kidding. All right. Anyways, what's up, everyone? KM, Kevin Matthews. Again, that's what I was wondering too. We're new at this. Do I
remember?
Look
there's
this
also
way?
People.
Do I look this way?
That cannot see you. So you got to realize it's a.
Okay, the audio. All right, guys. So. You probably recognize my voice because I do a hell of a lot of talking. I'm probably the guy you usually fast forward to when you hear talking, because I just ramble and have a lot of nothing to say. But thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here on the Pat Buck Show. It's a nice little setup, the Creator Pro Wrestling School. I haven't been here in a minute. It's very nice. Come check it out.
We also noticed, and I felt kind of bad, that your picture used to be on the wall and mysteriously was taken off the wall, not by myself, and I don't believe by Hawkins either. So.
You were just hoping, you knew it was God, and you're like, damn, I really hope he notices his picture's not on the wall. I'm actually looking at it, and I'm trying to wonder who replaced me. Is that Matt Sydal right next to Ryder up there?
I feel like that's been there forever. I don't know. I think it was just reshuffled. There's no newer pictures, per se. You know what? It's probably Spears, because that was the latest.
I was looking, because I think I was right next to X-Pac, so... I mean, I'm looking at the wall. Everybody on that wall has accomplished so much more than me, so I can't even, like, complain. Like, why is that one here? Like, what the hell did Ric Flair ever do? Like, who's that Jeff Jarrett guy? What, Kofi, what?
I feel that every day, because, you know, next to us, we have the action figures here, and the one rule is, you know, you have to wrestle on Creator Pro or been a Creator Pro for Hawkins, or should I say Myers now, to put the action figure out there, and I don't have one. You don't have one, right?
A real one? No.
Yeah,
no, I have a
custom one.
Did you not see, you never seen the shelf above my TV? I have like,
that's
I think,
right.
I think I have 9 or 10 custom KM figures. If you include the stuffed dolls, I think I have like 11. None of them are real. It's pretty sad. I have a whole toy collection of myself, none real. And 90% of them was made by one person. It's shout out, Vinny.
Well, with that being said, I mean, how's your quarantine, or how's, you know, that... To be completely truthfully honest here, you know, since being, you know, at WWE last year, when I was promoting, you know, I was kind of, I don't want to say doing everything myself, because you were always doing things with me, but I completely took a step back. Even before that, I took a step back from booking and promoting, where you were kind of doing it basically all yourself. So what problems or complications have you seen since this whole thing went down?
Since the quarantine went down?
I think so.
I mean, every problem you could imagine.
Or, let's cut you off, because I talked about this the first episode. I was kind of bringing up, because we were originally going to consider going way back in time and reviewing the first kind of show that I promoted, which I'm started to promote or got into this because Kevin, I don't say convinced me, I wanted to, and he kind of matched me up with someone who I'm not really going to talk about, but I think it would be more so, my last episode I was kind of talking about how over the years promoting took a different form where we used to like bring in the big legends and then we saw that die out, and then we'd bring in, you know, a newly released star, and then we saw that kind of go away because nobody's being released and yeah. all the promotions lock their talent into contracts, we couldn't even book them anymore. So what about the last year, you know, since that was primarily you, did you notice any changes in promoting or booking or whatever?
Yeah, just like you said, I know, I actually know exactly when that shift happened where I just had to sit back and I realized, what, because we were going from these super loaded cards, I mean, from the Demolitions, I mean, everyone who's still wrestling, or even, they didn't even have to wrestle, just appear from the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. I think we probably had a couple of people, actually we had Jimmy Valiant recently from the 60s or whatever, I don't even know how early, I think 50s, I don't even know.
I mean, to go back to the first show that we did, and apologize for cutting you off, but if you really just looked, because I was looking at it the other day, and I was looking and it was like, okay, we had, you know, Matt Hardy, Godfather, Powers of Pain, you know, Sammy Callahan was up and coming at the time, Cabana, Davey Richards. I don't know if Jerry Lynn was on that show, but thinking about doing that type of show now, if it's even possible or worth it. So, you know, going along what you said, that our shows were incredibly jam-packed and
I almost think that if you did one of those post-quarantine, but the fact that everyone was doing them to a point where they started dying out and they weren't really the thing that was in anymore. Like, the bigger our shows got, the smaller crowds got, and it wasn't making any sense. Mm-hmm. So then I just noticed what was working with other companies. It was a little tricky because they were just kind of going with the cool indie talent and stuff like that, the smart mark talent, whatever you want to call them. And they were drawing rabid crowds, but they weren't 800 people, 1,000 right. people, 1,500 people, 200-300 people, but the energy was there. So it's like, do we now not dumb down because the level of talent was higher, but do we bring in less known people, get the quality of the shows up, bring the attendance down, the energy up? It was a weird balance. It's like, now how do you find that happy mix that we could still draw 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 people and have the energy of the crowd go up and give the fans what they want to see? So it was And again, when we started switching it up, I think the quality of the shows did increase, but we did notice the attendance drop. So it is a little bit of a gray area, and it's tricky because the business is evolving and it's changing. It's not just changing from what it was in the Attitude Era to what it was in the early 2000s to what it is now. It's changing from what it was freaking last year to what it is now. So you gotta go with the flows. And I think we were just one step behind where we just had to pump the brakes and be like, this isn't working. Bringing in these guys, yeah, they're an added flavor, but looking at what the other places were doing, it's not really what the fans 100% want to see. I think it was done to death too much. Just like even the poster format, when we started really doing these cool pyramid-style posters, then everybody started doing them. Our posters didn't really look cool. So everything has to change with time, and I think we had to just play a little bit of catch-up, and I think we did that, and then we got hit with the quarantine. So I'm curious to see how... I was wondering myself, this is going to hit the reset button. Mm-hmm. Are the fans going to flock to shows because they're starving, or are they going to be, well, I need to catch up on money, and they're going to be cautious first coming out to shows because they're not sure with these crowds? Like,
right.
I don't think nobody has the answer to that right now. So I think it's a trial and error thing we have to see. But I'm curious in seeing how that unfolds.
Well, and to go back to before we kind of explore promoting or running shows in a post-quarantine world. Or as the states reopen is a better way to put it. You know, I kind of want to get into what you said before. When we started promoting or started doing shows, I think we had the train of thought that there's really two ways to be a successful independent promotion going back to 2012. The first way was the way we kind of went along where, you know, it was all about our posters, where we wanted to put recognizable talent on the thing, whether it be anchored with a legend like a Flair or a Brett or whomever, and then we'd mix it up with maybe someone, I don't know, there's a Gangrel in there, there's a current TNA star, there's a current this, that, the other, and try to just draw as many people into the building as possible, where other places kind of took the opposite. They were completely focused on their guys, never brought in names, and we were completely, but the reason why they did so, because they cared about their content. You know, if they had 200 people at a show, that was a bonus for them because they just wanted to put on great matches, get the clicks on YouTube and get their stuff going, where we were like, no, we need as many, that's my mindset going back traditionally, was as many people in here, the better. If we can get 1,000, but we noticed a shift over time. And, you know, I think like we were spoiled in a way where we were used to doing 1,000, 1,200 people, dare I say, every month, every other month. And now I think before this thing happens, we probably had like maybe 2 shows this year that were really, you know, great capacity. I think like my send-off show and then Dan Moff's send-off show. But now post-quarantine world is kind of with, I think you were kind of bringing this up, and we probably talk at length too much and not let each other talk enough in between.
Well, I do at least.
No, I know. We just both got to get it. We're not professionals, I guess.
Yeah, so, but
I think going into, you know, with 25 to 30 newly released talent, and then going into what are the rules going to be? You know, I don't know if you have any thoughts on it, because I'm not really sure myself.
What the post quarantine? What the rules? I know. I don't think anyone's gonna know what it is. But yeah, I mean the influx of talent and a lot of, it's not just big huge names that, you know, people are like, we don't really care. It's a lot of good talent was let go that the fans are clamoring to see on these shows. It's not just like we put these super cards on before where it's just a bunch of former names and stuff like that. These guys, a lot of these guys that were let go can go in the ring full steam.
You expect top 3 of that crop.
That me as a fan that wants to see?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Hawkins counts because Hawkins was already with us.
Yeah.
If I exclude Hawkins because he's part of the family, mm-hmm. If I was a fan, who would I want to see on WrestlePro? I think Rusev has to be in that list.
Probably is the top.
I think Rusev has to be in that list. I think Ryder just being in the rec center, it almost feels like it should have never happened.
Right.
So I think him coming out is just like, wow, this, after 5 million years, it's, I mean, I was signed this 2 months before Brian and Matt were signed. And that feels like, I mean, I'm thinking of when I was there, I was thinking of this the other day, when I was physically there with them, it's so freaking long ago that it feels like a different lifetime. And just to think that these dudes were there, especially Ryder, the entire time from that moment up until a couple of days ago, it's pretty surreal.
Now,
so
I wonder, do you think we can afford Ryder at this point?
do we get a brother rate on that? I don't know. So Ryder, I mean, I think the fans really like Heath. I think Heath coming out would be pretty cool in that building. I'm trying to remember, actually, who I know. No Way Jose is one of them. Who else? Who else is on that list?
I mean, there's a lot, and there's a lot that I wonder if they're going to continue. You know, there's lifers in that group that, you know, hey, I'm one of them. You know, that are going to do this the rest of their lives. But there's guys that I wonder about. You know, like I wonder someone who I'd like to see out there who actually I just talked to recently, but we didn't talk about wrestling. Rowan, I feel like he was, you know, he's a great heel to bring into any promotion.
Yeah.
That he's the kind, and I talked about this in the first episode of the audio version. This is the first video version.
Yeah.
But, you know, going, this is a totally different issue, and we can talk about this too, creatively. Like, if you book a Rusev, I feel like if you bring him in and you put someone over him, I feel like it doesn't feel right. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, I feel like you bring him in and we embrace this guy who got over, you know, in the situations he's put in. But if you bring in a Rowan and you just beat somebody, I feel like he's the perfect guy to bring in and put against your, you know, top baby face or whatever, and they slay the dragon at the ends.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, there's Drake Maverick, there's,
that's
you
right,
know.
EC3, Drake Maverick. Actually, I'm a fan of Drake's. I actually like Spud. I was trying to think when you were asking me my top 3, I'm like, I'm trying to remember the list. And then Spud.
We got Mike and Maria. We got the Colognes. We got the...
I think Spud. I mean, so I think Rusev, Ryder, probably Heath would be the 3 that I, as a fan, that I kind of... I'm just taking myself out of the booker portion, because there's some things that, like, I put on the shows, and then I enjoy sitting there as a fan and seeing it play out, and then because creatively I want to see if it works, but then also see if I enjoy it as a fan. And... I think certain things, yeah, Heath in that building would just be so ridiculously over. Him, Ryder, and Rusev, those would be the three, I think, out of that list. Rusev, though, from a Booker standpoint, what I would do, Rusev and someone like a Bowens interests me.
Right.
Because I think a lot of companies see Rusev and they're like, he's a big Bulgarian brood. We're going to have him come out and kick this guy's ass. But they don't realize Rusev can go at that pace and that style. So I think putting him against Bowens where they can go out there and put, and I think Rusev, I have a weird feeling that those companies that book him, he's going to want to go out there and work his ass off. I have a really good feeling. You know better than me.
No, well, that's the thing. I worked with him a little bit. He's total professional, enjoyed always being around him. I never had his matches. The only thing I actually had, actually, no, take that back. I think I had maybe his return to when he took that little hiatus and then he was back in the mix. But my question, I really wonder, and I said this in the last episode, of those guys, I wonder how interested they are. Like, for example, EC3 put a countdown clock, basically, of when he can get at it again. I'm wondering amongst that group who still wants to do this and who's still, like, really going, like, sinking their teeth into getting out there. That would make me think the only one thing I question about, you know, does he want to do this? And that's
unless
you know,
he's burnt out, and
right.
It's just, I mean, it could be a mindset of some of these guys. I was at the top and now I just want to cash in, get this payday and be in and out as quick as possible. Other guys use it as a fire to light on their ass to show the world, hey, listen, I'm better than what you even knew I was, type deal. So yeah, I mean, there's no way to really know until you actually bring him in. But then that also spreads like wildfire because the promoters all talk to each other, and because I know promoters reach out to me, they're like, hey, you just used this person, how was he to deal with?
Exactly, so what I talked about, and you can get into this too. I mean, what I was trying to say too, that the, you know, reputation, like last time, the last episode that I put up there, talked about guys using an agent, and I voiced my thoughts on, I can get it for some guys, but some guys I don't get it, not just from a financial, because your independent wrestling reputation is actually something that matters in a post-WWE world, and it could really hinder your success. And we've seen it happen with people. So I don't know if you're pro-agent or against-agent, because I know, just like myself, you've done it before. You've represented people.
Yeah, I guess it really depends. But you said, it depends on who you are. Like, in my opinion, do you have to deal with an agent for Ric Flair? Of course, it makes sense. Bret Hart, yeah. And actually, Bret Hart's agent, Kirk White, he was great to deal with. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a smooth sale. But a lot of these times, these guys who aren't really, I'm not going to name names, aren't at that type of level, they I don't know who their agents are, their friends or whatever, or they just want to pretend they're superstars, and then you're just dealing with nonsense. I have people reach out to me, hey, are you interested in this person, and I know I could hit up that person directly myself, but to entertain myself, I'm like, how much is this person, just to see what and it's the most astronomical, delusional thing, and I play with them. I say, how do you expect anybody to make that money back on this, out of curiosity, like kind of almost like putting them in their place, but I'm not a fan of it.
If I can go down memory road, and I won't call out this particular talent, but our favorite request from an agent that we've ever had was that not only was the talent to have this, but he himself was to be flown in and have this a 6-star hotel.
No, he's wrong. It was 5-star or better, so it could have even been a 7-star hotel. And I actually Googled, I said, Pat, what the F is a 7-star hotel? I Googled 7-star hotel, and I'm kidding you not. You could do it yourself. A fucking castle showed up. An actual castle. I'm like, what the fuck is that? A castle? And this person did not even reach anywhere close to that status.
No.
And I mean, it sounds like we're kidding, and it's like, it's not even a castle for one person. You have to buy two nights, two times two rooms in this castle. You didn't say castle, but Google 5-star or better, and I just entertain myself. Is there such thing as a 7-star hotel? But yeah. So most of the bigger name stars, the huge name stars, as high up as you can get, they'll say 4-star hotel. I've never actually been hit with 5-star. Has anyone ever actually asked you 5-star?
Never.
They say 4-star or better.
Two off the top of my head did 4-star, and the entire time that, you know, if you get a Marriott, you're normally like, they're good with that. We're all kind of good with, we see a Marriott property, we're fine with that. But, you know.
You know what's actually a funny story, and I'll say his name. You know why DDP actually requests 4-star hotels?
No. I don't.
It's not him saying, oh, I'm a star, I want the best. It's the food. Four-star or better serves his GMO gluten-free foods that he likes.
I never knew that. Wow. Okay.
He told me that. I didn't know it either until I actually, he told me, he's like, because any hotel like that, it's the menu's different.
Huh.
So that's what that's about. But yeah, I didn't know that either until he told me. I was like, oh, okay. Because for Alaska, I called different hotels and stuff like that. And I was like, listen, this is going to be weird, but I just need to know what's on your menu. So, and then.
So in a post-quarantine, this is where I kind of see, if the gun to my head, where are shows going or where do you see, you know, how are you guys going to promote shows? I see it basically being, mind the ice chewing. For the audio.
Oh wait, can you hear it on your?
It's gonna go right to a podcast too. They're gonna hear everything.
So I'm down to the bottom of the barrel on my coffee, so I'm just chewing on coffee ice. So,
but I think once we get, you know, we run the rec center, which you could realistically squeeze 1,500. If you remove a thing, you could squeeze 2,000. That's not gonna happen now. But I see like venues coming back where you could have 100, 150. You know, fingers crossed. So I see us like picking maybe one at a time, adding it to our mix, maybe two of, you know, former so-and-so to per show rather than doing this big, you know, hoopla of, because I've seen a couple people expect that, like, oh, you're going to book every single person? Nah, probably not, but just kind of maybe, you know, it's Bullet Club on one, or Gallows and Anderson, whatever their new Big LG
is.
You know, they're just the feature act, and we're going to try to draw 200 people with our crew and them, and that's the show, and hopefully people are willing to come see it sort of deal.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody actually, I put up a status, I think, on Facebook saying, who would you like to see or whatever? I didn't want to say, like, hey, out of all the people that were released, I said, I mean, obviously everyone knows what's going on. I said, who would you like to see coming back? The fans picked it up, what I was saying, and then you have the Riders, the Rusevs, and all this stuff. One person, I forget who it was, they posted, someone made a graphic where it was everyone that was released, and then they just posted that graphic, and they said, just put the Russell Pro logo over this. I said, Jesus. So that's an expensive show, but, or he said, like, how much would this show cost? And it was everyone that was released. I was like, yeah.
It's going to be interesting, too, because, you know, part of our, I don't want to say business model, not that we ever had one officially, was we like to, and everybody started doing this, which is smart, and I get it. You know, there's big conventions in the New York, New Jersey area. So, and they would bring in, I mean, after a while, if we can't book Bret Hart each and every time. They would book, what I'm trying to say is book these huge names and groups or whatever it may be, and we would run that night because vendors would have an open arrangement to bring talent there. Maybe they get a match, maybe they just sign, whatever it may be. And then we realized people were doing that too much, so we run the night before and still try to have a symbiotic relationship with, you know, these, you know, conventions. But now that crowds, I don't see that these conventions that when they are stacked, like if you were to have a convention tomorrow with all the newly released talent, you'd probably have 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people walking in and out all day long. I don't see that happening. So it's going to come down to, you know, just wrestling shows booking one or two talents at a time, whatever the capacity may be. So.
Yeah. Two of the talents, though, that I think, I was thinking of this the other day as well, though. I think the girls, I think it's so far just Deanna and Logan. I think there's no females that everyone's been done to death, all the Impact girls and stuff like that. The talent pool has been dried up as far as new, fresh talent. I think with those two girls, I think their schedules are going to be slammed. I think both of those are probably going to get offered contracts relatively quickly by somebody. And I think they're going to do good. And I also think No Way Jose, I was thinking of this before, and people are like, really? But he has a gimmick that will excel so good on family shows.
Of course.
And I think a lot of...
Get your sponsors involved. Get on the conga line.
Fair show. Oh, yeah, dude. I think if he does it right and he's not trying to do the whole, I'm going to reinvent myself and change my name and be this badass killer and just start from scratch again. If he actually still rolls with the version of that, I think he could do really well on the indies. All the fair shows will pick him up and everything like that. I think almost like a bigger version of Hornswoggle where he's the perfect act to put on those style shows. And there's so many of those shows across the world. I think he can do well. And I know that's a weird one that people, but now if you think about that, you're like.
I never thought of that until you said that. Especially with like these shows that have, you know, we're not really talking about the, you know, smart fan shows, but the ones that have your local bank or whomever sponsoring, what an anchor to put, you know, hey, you're going to come out and be a part of this guy there. That's...
If I were him, too, I would just go to the most random, or buy it online, I guess, now, because we're in quarantine, but hot dog costumes and just have your bag of stupid costumes that you're traveling with and just, like, 7-8 costumes that you'll have whoever dress up as on these fair shows with you and stuff. I think he could do well.
That's business there.
It really is. And then he doesn't go in at a crazy price, a reasonable price, and because he's also a character that he's going to clean up on these fair shows with merch. So if he does it right, he can do really well for himself. But then there's other ones. You got to go up and down the scale. Everyone is going to take a different avenue. Obviously, the colognes are going to go back to Puerto Rico. Which company were they with over there?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much Carlos is really running these. I don't really know what's going on as far as how much business is there in Puerto Rico. I read something recently like Conan and I don't know what company he's with.
Was not AAA?
Forgive me. I should know. I should be a wrestling expert. We don't know.
He was tied in with Impact. I forget the company, the one they were all going over there with. Yeah, I should know.
Maybe
our
GoPro guys know and they could just yell from the...
They see our lips moving, and it's not even our voice. It's like, hey, Russell. I'm just like, wait, that was weird.
What idiots. They don't know this. But anyway, like, I saw a thing that he wants them.
Yeah.
Them there. I mean.
Again, that makes sense. So, again, those guys, just like No Way Jose, would do good on family shows. All those, like, Lucha Libre type shows that they want a Spanish kind of wrestler on it, they're going to migrate towards those guys. They're going to say, like, oh, yeah, we have these guys. So, I mean, everyone's going to take a different avenue. The girls are going to be in demand if they don't get snatched up. I think Impact's going to probably jump at maybe Deanna or something. Or there's NWA that likes the women's division. There's AEW that has a strong women's division. I actually went on AEW's website the other day to just kind of count their roster because I was like, do they have 50 people under contract? I went on their roster. They have, 52 guys and 17 girls. They have 70 people on their roster.
Wow.
Just talent. Not referees or anything like that. I didn't realize they had that many. They have a deep women's roster, and I don't think, well, right now I don't think anyone's hiring. No one's really hiring anybody right now. But I think a lot of the people released, again, they have to know what they're doing. A lot of them are not familiar with how this works on the indies. It's a different animal than just getting your travel going there. If you haven't done it yet, like Hawkins already had that short run, he a little bit beforehand, but mainly in between his two WWE runs, he knows how this whole thing works. It's a different animal. I'm not going to name names, but you can shoot yourself in the foot if you're, no matter how big or small of a name you are, with price and the way you deal with promoters, you refuse to lose here, your name can be this, and then in a year you're down here and nobody's booking you. So you have to be really careful and know how to do good business is the key because, again, promoters all talk in a circle. And I've had that conversation countless times. How is this person to deal with? Is he do this? Does he do this? Does he do this? Oh, yeah, he's great. Okay, I'll book him. Or I'll crap on them. They'll crap on them to me. And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing business with this guy. Screw that. So
I'm glad you brought that up because that's my big fear is a lot of, you know, the ones that are used to this game before, you know, Hawkins, Gallows, they know.
Oh, Gallows knows this well.
Yeah, he's... He was probably plotting, like, you know, he probably
may
know the waters.
His PayPal is just going off left and right, and no one even knows why. It's like, ding, 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 ding. He's actually, at the list, he's number one as far as, I don't want to use the word carny, but he knows this shtick very well. He's good at it.
He's great at it.
It's an art.
He's a businessman.
He thinks of stuff that I would be like, that's actually, I wouldn't have ever thought of that, but holy crap, okay.
I worry about a lot of... for people, not that it's, okay, there's two trains of thought. For people, this entire, like, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think No Way Jose came from Independence, right?
I don't know where he came from. Was he a football guy?
I think he was an athlete somewhere. I don't know if they're, whatever, may forgive me for not knowing that, but, you know, I worry about people go, what do I do now? And even the ones that, you know.
While you're talking, I'm actually going to look it up.
The what, the list?
No, where No Way Jose came from.
You know, you mentioned the females, how there's only two females, you know, and they both had a adequate amount of television time and record, you know, and great in-ring talents.
I think she built a hell of a name for herself on the indies prior to signing, which is helping her just go right back to where she left off, but now with a little bit of a bump, whereas Sarah Logan is full-blown from TV, where right. Everyone's going to book her from that.
I mean, she did have a small, you know, or Crazy Mary stuff before. Like, she was... Here's my concern, is that they're both great in-ring talents, and I got to work with them a ton and have a lot of their matches, but The one thing that concerns me is I think a lot of people, when they are used to making a certain amount of, and this goes across the board for everyone, they're used to making a certain amount of income, and they look back and go, okay, well, I'm out here now. They're going to not, the massive gap between what the independents can give you, or dare I say what a promoter can give you, is going to be so scary and alarming that I think that a lot of talent are going to kind of, you're not going to hear a talent understate their worth, but I think you're going to hear a lot of cases of wanting something that they're not going to, promotions aren't going to be able to deliver.
Yeah.
And what I kind of want to say from my train of thought is this, is that could they make a living doing this? Yes. But I think that because there's so many companies out there and because WWE does have an open door, if you get over, you know, an insane amount and you're needed, you're going to be brought back. I would say to them, please be reasonable if you want to do this, because you may, I know it's, it sucks to hear, you may, you're going to see a dip in your income, I think, regardless of anything.
Yeah.
So treat these next 1, 2, 3 years as investment years to really become a star in the independents, and you go back and whatever deal you have will make up times 10 for those years. Some people may disagree with that, but I think that that is the way to go to keep yourself, oh my God, have you seen what this person's done, rather than trying to cash in and fall flat on your face in 5 or 6 months.
Well, yeah, you take, even though he wasn't released, he actually was released, but if you take CJ Parker, for example, he left, and I even questioned it. I remember telling you, I was like, dude, nobody knows who this guy is, and he quit the WWE like to go make a name for himself on the indies. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a hell of an uphill battle. Guy went to New Japan, and now his name, if he goes back to WWE, he's not getting that CJ Parker pay, because Juice Robinson's name value is so much higher. So if you could actually somehow, it's not the easiest thing to do, but if you could, you can do it. If you're talented and you put in the work and you don't just coast by, it's not going to do itself for you. You have to actually put in the work. You can actually, like he said, oh, this guy, like Pat just said, you can actually build your name to the point where now you actually have more value. And the fact that there's a lot more televised companies right now, you can do that. Prior to AEW, where it was just Impact and Ring of Honor was doing their little thing, it was actually harder. It was harder to go out and actually make your name bigger to the point where now WWE is kicking in your door saying, dude, we will throw you so much more money. It was actually the opposite, where it's like, well, I hope WWE calls me. Like, I would really like to go back. Now it's like, there's a lot of options out there where even if you want to, if you did it right, you don't even have to sign a big contract with anybody. If you know what you're doing and you're coming off of a little name, you could just go out Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sundays. In some states down south and stuff like that, you could wrestle on Tuesday, Wednesday. You go overseas to, you know, the UK, where they're running virtually every day. And by the way, I looked up, No Way Jose was Manny Garcia, and we're probably going to catch slack for this because he's a North Carolina guy, CWF Mid-Atlantic, so tied in with high spots and stuff like that from 2013 to 15. Jeff Rudd and all those guys down there, they're like, dude, come on, you never, what? Then actually, you're going to catch more slack than I am.
I am, considering you know how many conga lines I had to put together in the last year?
I was in the conga line. I was in the freaking conga line. Nassau Coliseum. That's actually funny.
I had many Jose matches. Great dude. So, always smile on his face. So forgive me for not knowing. Someone told me about, and again, I hate, like, I didn't know that Rowan was, a independent wrestler.
I didn't know. I thought he was a football guy.
I thought he was a living Viking. And then you meet him, and he's just like this most humble, down to earth, and one of my favorite people that I've encountered in the last year or so.
Actually, you know what's funny? Speaking of No Way Jose, I remember, because when you were there, I mean, one of the main things that you didn't touch on yet is the crazy amount of Creative Pro New Jersey and New York students that you had a hand in supplying week in and week out. And other than our local fan base, I don't think the real world knows full-blown how many people that they've seen between the conga lines and in squash matches and just regular matches, so forth, so on, that you actually had a hand in supplying. And even people that were just there eating catering, like, it almost feels like every week, anything from on this side of the world, you had a hand in supplying.
I appreciate that, too. And before we continue with that story, that was one thing that I always wanted to do with the position I was in. Every single week, we would get an email about whatever city we're in, about who the extras were going to be. And I don't want to say I'm the only person, but being that, you know, independent wrestling has been all I know or good to me or helped me so much, I paid attention to all that. So I went through every single profile to see, hey, do I know this person, not know this person? Because I wanted to be prepared when I went into these meetings, because you, as you can see on any WWE television, you know, it's, we need people for this, we need people for that. And I always wanted to be the person, the go-to, to go, hey, that person, not just booking my own guys, which I did, and you can, you know, got into that a little bit, but more so if I was in other cities. You know, there was times, you know, this is an example, you know, other producers, if they have a segment with, this actually happened, I'll say, you know, Aleister Black versus a local. And sometimes they want the most menace, they want a guy your size. They want a guy that looks like he can kick some ass. Sometimes they want someone who does not look much like a performer. They want someone who looks like, you know, they should be sitting in the crowd or never done anything athletic in their life. For that particular one, they wanted someone that could look the part. Now, I don't remember exactly who the producer was, and I don't even think it's relevant, but I knew that they didn't know who the locals were. And that day was one of our guys, Dion, you know, Iceberg, yeah. Dion Richardson. Is that? No,
Dion. Well, that's I think that's his real name. Roosman is his work name.
Dion Roosman?
Yeah, Richardson, I believe, is his last name.
Okay, so I knew he was there, and right after the production meeting, I go to them, and I go, I got the perfect guy for you. Bring him over, like, yes, totally works. Aleister does a good job, gets a tryout. So, like, I always wanted to, because I knew that nobody cares, and it drives me nuts. So I always wanted to be the person that to do those opportunities, but you were saying with the conga line before, I really cut you off.
Well, no, this story, so... when you would always reach out to me and be like, yo, dude, they need, and it's, sometimes it was super short notice. I think the shortest was almost the night before it's been where it's like, dude, I need this many guys at this thing. And it was quick and everyone had to be updated on blood work and stuff. I remember one time I was updated on my blood work regardless before you were asking everyone like, hey, dude, would you want to do this? And I said, sure. And that's how I call it seeing. Like, would you do the Congo line? Like, you almost said it in a way like you didn't want to offend me if I.
True.
And I said, hell yeah, I want to do the Congo line. And dude, I have no shame. I was like, it's not. And I knew at this point, like, I wasn't in good shape. Not. I had a little weight on me, but my knee was so shot from the last year of Impact. I'm to the point where I couldn't even walk. It was so bad. And then WWE also does a physical. So I knew, I didn't even bring my gear. Like, the number one worker rule is you always bring your gear. I was booked for WWE. Gear stayed home. There was no gear with me. And I laughed. I was like, they better not even tell me to get in the ring or I'm not doing, I knew I wouldn't get approved because I knew there was a physical in the back. And I kept making jokes. I was like, oh, I'm going to fail this with flying colors. And I submitted all my paperwork. I waited on this line to get my physical. And then I just kept making jokes. I was like, I can't wait to go in there. And they just laugh at me. And, I didn't even get to go in the trainer's room. I was next in line after waiting there for like an hour. And it's funny, all the people were walking by me that I knew from whether it be Impact or the Indies, they were looking at me like, wait, what? And I was like, hey, what's up? I'm going to do the Congo line tonight. So, and then the guy came out and he told me, he's like, hey, we're going over your paperwork. You need like an orthopedic doctor to sign off on this. We can't even look at you. And then I got rejected. I didn't even get turned down in the room. I got turned down before I even got in the room. And then later on that day, you actually asked me, they're like, yo, we could do the Congo line. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then, like a little kid, I was at the table with all the props and checking. I was like, yo, look at me. Like a little kid. I had a lot of fun, though. I was like, why wouldn't I? Come on, man. People got to let their ego subside. It's like, I'm not.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Some people don't. There was people that wouldn't. No one ever said outright no, but I would notice people hiding, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, on my end, listen, I'm 37 years old now. I'm not getting hired at WWE as an in-ring talent at any time ever. That ship has sailed. I had that opportunity once. Like, I'm broken now. Like, it's not my age, but my body will never even allow that to happen. So it's like, well, I'm at Nassau Coliseum. I'm never going to wrestle at Nassau Coliseum unless a miracle happens with something. I said, I'm here now. Do you want to come out? Sure. What the hell? Why not? Why not? So, and I remember another time that you hit me up. You said, hey, do you want to come? I think it was like the next or 2 days later. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I got an email saying, did you ever get that notice from that orthopedic doctor? And I said, no. They're like, sorry, we can't use you. But now, luckily, I dropped 30 pounds and I'm actually feeling good. Pretty sure a doctor would clear me, but I'm good to go now. So I'm ready for that Congo line at your local family-friendly show. I'll still do it. I'll do it on a fair show. I have no shame. I'll wrestle later on the card, but earlier on, just to humor myself, I'm going to do it. Even if we do it at WrestlePro, I swear to God, I want to do it.
The Congo line?
Yeah, for no reason. We're like, dude, that's Kevin. What is he saying? I almost want to do that just to... humor myself. I think I'm going to if we ever do it.
I wonder what his... Because that's a tough one to come up with a name post-WWE. You know what I mean? With... Or no, you can
no
probably...
No Way Jose?
Like, you can... They can no, probably figure it
no
out.
No Way Joe? No. It Jose? What rhymes with Jose? No Way Brose?
That's a tough one. But with that being said, I think let's wrap it up. If you have anything you want to promote or...
yeah, all of our upcoming shows.
I mean, yourself.
Quarantine
Look,
pro
we may never have shows again. So
Whoa, no, gonna, we
it's
better.
Gonna be do, it's going to be doing this.
Oh, dude.
Putting out content, talking about old shows.
Yeah. I don't even... I have Facebook, but I mean, I don't know. I don't plug that. I mean, I'm all capped out on that. I have a friends list.
Well, some people never saw you before. They're going to want to... maybe follow you on some sort of thing.
You could YouTube, just look up Kevin Matthews KM, watch my epic five-star matches, or just Instagram. I think I'm Superstar KM, and Twitter's the same. One has an underscore. Just search. I think one is Superstar underscore KM, the other one's Superstar KM. So